The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by Fulfill.io, the ERP built natively for e-commerce sellers. Fulfill streamlines the complexity in your business to save you time and money. From smart order routing to warehouse management, accounting to inventory tracking, they take all of your complexity and all the things that take a lot of time and manual effort and streamline them under one unified tool. Their clients range from seven-figure brands all the way through companies doing hundreds of millions of dollars per year so they can grow and scale with you. And they're the highest rated ERP in our community of private sellers, according to member reviews, scoring higher than Odoo, Skubana, Brightpearl, and yes, even NetSuite. Actually scored quite a bit higher than NetSuite. So if you want to streamline the complexity in your business, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the most popular, largest upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 of those big spending Shopify Plus stores, and they've generated over $200 million in revenue for the merchants that use them. And you may be thinking, oh, hey, Andrew, I've heard of OneClick Upsell. I know these guys, but do you really? Do you know what they've rolled out recently? They've got some cool new stuff. For their pre-purchase and their post-purchase upsells, you can now select from multiple different offers to present your customers. So instead of having them just have to pick from one single thing, you can give them the option to pick from multiple upsells, which helps and has proven to increase the number of people who actually take you up on those upsells. So if you're not using upsells in your store, it's an amazingly easy, fast way to increase your average order value and your revenues. So check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure e-commerce brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today, man, there's someone who has been dancing around the e-commerce landscape, somehow trying to avoid me for the last 2, 3, 4 years.
Successfully.
Successfully avoiding me. And I managed to finally rope him in here to talk. But joined today by Andrew Foxwell, who's the co-founder of Foxwell Digital. Man, a fount of knowledge on all things marketing, digital and otherwise. And looking forward to talking about a bunch of stuff. We're going to be talking about Facebook. Are the rumors about Facebook performance actually getting better recently? Are those true? Are they merited? And what's driving that trend? We're going to be talking about kind of social media and paid social, what that's looking like, how much work is going into that. A little about TikTok, his relationship with Wall Street and forecasting stock prices, or at least helping people forecast stock prices based on Google paid or paid spend, which is a finance geek, I think is interesting, and a bunch of other stuff. So Andrew, I'm excited to nerd out on all things advertising and finance. Thanks for coming on. This will be fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be with you.
Yeah, and also good to talk to someone, get into this in a little bit, but in the community space, organizing entrepreneurs, especially online and digital. You also, geeked out a little bit on the community side beforehand. So always a treat when I can talk to other community builders, because they're few and far between, it seems. So
yeah, but absolutely.
Let's talk about Facebook first. So I don't think you can see this poll, but I'm pulling this up on mine. I posted something in our forums three days ago, we're recording this in mid-January 2023, and just asking people, is Facebook performance improving? Because I've heard that through the grapevine, and got a smattering of responses you might expect, but the number of people who said their Facebook ads are performing better outperformed those by 3.5x to saying that Facebook ads are performing worse, and there was about the rest of them were about in the middle in terms of not sure, no difference. So it seems like, are you seeing this too? Like, are you seeing Facebook ads perform better over the last, 1, 2, 3 months, whatever it is?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we ran a poll in the Foxwell Founders membership. You know, are you increasing or decreasing or keeping the same budgets year over year on Meta going into Q1? And it was 80% are increasing. So interesting trend. And yes, we have seen it improve. I think that there's a number of factors that go into why, and we can get into those. But I think that generally speaking, hopefully the darkest of dark days are behind us. I think that one piece of it is the advent of Advantage Plus shopping campaigns, which is sort of Meta's answer to Google Performance Max. And what they're more automated. They seem to hold spend in a stable way. They are simple in terms of the creation of them. And if you utilize, you know, pre-existing or what we would call like social proofed ads in them, they perform pretty well. The thing you never know with Meta, and the bear case on it would say, well, you know, it's performing well now, but as everybody hops on, it's going to start to not do as well. And I think that that is certainly valid. And, you know, that remains to be seen what that'll do. I have predictions on that as well, but I think that's a big part of it. I think another part of it from an advertiser standpoint, this is getting a little bit nerdy, but I think it's important to mention.
Oh, nerd away.
Is I think that the you looking back, you know, we lost a lot of data when iOS 14 came out, right? We lost a lot of data. Then basically everything, you know, that came out from Meta was modeled and you were like, what is this? Like, you know, you would look in Meta and it would say you got $2,000 in revenue or some crazy whatever number. And then it, you know, wasn't that the case. And you would say 10 transactions and you'd had one, you know, so you couldn't really trust these numbers because they were quote unquote modeled. Now Meta brought back in Q3, Q4, the ability for you to look at the breakdown of click versus view. And the fact that your click basis numbers were lining up to what you saw in a third-party tool. So obviously 2022 was the year of attribution tools of Northbeam and Triple Whale and Rockerbox getting, you know, people using them. And the fact that you could look at the same window on there and within your third-party tool and within Meta and they matched fairly closely was an incredible breath of fresh air to advertisers because you could trust those numbers again. I mean, you could mildly trust them more than you could before. So that's really helpful. So the fact that, you know, you could scale and say, yeah, they're matching a little bit more is huge. And that gave us a lot of faith that actually transactions were being driven and we were able to scale them more effectively. So I think those are two of the main ones that have helped things be better. So I'll stop there for now. But there's a lot of reasons why I think other things, you know, people are spending more too.
Yeah, is it, and not Performance Max, that's on the Google side. What is the Facebook equivalent that you mentioned?
Managed Plus shopping campaigns. You'll often see nerds will refer to it as ASC.
Advantage Plus shopping. And what, you know, for people who are on Facebook, you can maybe fast forward about 2 or 3 minutes here if you're spending a lot here, but for people who haven't been on Facebook, maybe have thought about it, but have, you know, or just are not on it very much, don't understand the platform well, how is that different from, like, what does that actually do differently? Does it just make it easier to get campaigns off the ground? Does it manage some of the actual harder lifting of
you know, it's just a simplified setup, really. You know, it doesn't really allow you to do very much, and it allows you to just put in creative and say, how much do you want of new customers versus existing? And like, that's really the only control you have. So it makes the setup of it very simple, and it allows you to just press play.
Are you actually seeing, like, you know, a better return on ad spend, lower CPAs? Like, is it actually translating into higher performance and more dollars in the pocket for merchants across the board for Facebook?
Yeah, I would say so. I would say it's definitely translating into more actual real dollars. I think that some of it is it's translating into real dollars because it's doing a really good job of finding new people in, you know, that are going to convert. So I think that's one part of it now. I also think that some of the success of Advantage Plus shopping campaigns is because the formula, quote unquote, that you use to know what's working from really a creative standpoint was worked on a lot and discussed a lot in 22. And so now that we know that you sort of have to have, you know, this formula to do a really good ad and, you know, a certain hook, or you've got to have, you're solving a problem or an us versus them. Like, there's models of this, but that the styles and the, you know, formula for making that work has been more effectively communicated. And so we are all like have leveled up our creative, which if you're putting pre-existing creatives in to an Advantage Plus shopping campaign, it's doing well. So I think that those two things coincide very well. And that's been helpful too.
Got it. What, you know, someone who's like listening to you talk, and this definitely wouldn't be me, absolutely not. And you just hear you saying like, oh, there's all these frameworks, you know, the stuff that you should know if you're creating creative, that's just the proven, you know, these five formulas or types of ads work better than a lot of other ones. What are your top five? Like, when you're thinking, if you're rolling out a fresh campaign for someone, no existing creative or campaigns that you're just starting from scratch, what are some of your favorites or some of the most effective ones people can leverage if they're not already thinking about those?
I mean, I think it's not necessarily, I would say framework is bad because it makes you think that there's something that's out there that you are not privy to. I think that it's fundamental Ogilvy style thinking of like what is you know of creative that's being translated properly. I think before I answer that question, what a lot of us did is we got spoiled by Meta in the way that it was built. So we were able to take a static ad and just launch it and it would do well. And that actually can still happen. You can take your catalog, launch it to a prospecting audience, and it can do really well. And like the fact that that works with no other, you know, add-ons to it or enhancements is still kind of mental. Like, and if you, you know, those are sort of the golden goose accounts that as an agency you get, you're like, oh my God, a catalog works for prospecting. That's incredible. But I think that we got spoiled. And so now we're having to run back and really make sure that we're explaining. So a lot of it is, you know, is your creative is solving a problem? How are you comparing your creative to, how are you comparing your product rather to what's currently in the marketplace? That when coupled with, I click on it, I look at it, I go then back and I get hit in the middle part of the funnel or the lower part of the funnel. I've been to their site where I signed up for emails once I looked at products. You know, I'm being hit with an ad of showing me the exact products and the color customizations I can have. Those things work really well. So it's a framework of, yes, solving a problem, us versus them. Like it, a lot of it is the hook and how fast it is. And a lot of it is to the nuance in how much the milliseconds matter and the cuts. So today I was watching an episode of Adtopsy, which is Fire Team is an agency that's in the membership, and their co-host on this is Barry Hott, who's a membership person in ours as well. And he's a creative expert. And like they actually look at ads and like say, here's what the issue was. And they were looking at an ad of a shirt that's selling the idea that says the mountains are calling, like, you know, and it was a photo of the mountains or a drawing of the mountains or whatever on the shirt. And the person's like in the mountains. Okay. But the deal is like, what is that really doing? Like, it's a cool shirt maybe, but the shirt was like 20% of the actual image itself. And what could you do to make that more interesting? So like, is it higher quality? If your designs are your value proposition, how do you show them that's going to be something really right away that's going to hit people and be like, whoa, that's interesting, or that's funny, that's going to hit them in the first 2 seconds or second, that you can then cut to say how it's durable, how it, you know, has 100%, you know, like you can return it easily. Here's how, like, sort of objective busting or objection busting, like all the way through as well. So this is kind of what I'm thinking about, right? Like as you go through and look at the creatives, there's a lot of nuance within that. And the days of sort of just launching a static ad are not entirely over. This can happen and it can still work, but it's not as effective as it once was.
It's never taken more time to dive in and do paid social well. And again, this is someone who's very outside of the paid space. It's not my area of expertise. I spent very little time in Facebook doing ads or other platforms for that matter. But when I hear a lot of stuff you're saying like, you know, we've got APS coming out that makes it easier to upload ads. You can use your iPhone. Some of those iPhone shot videos potentially with the rise of TikTok just resonate better. You don't have to do them on all. A lot of these trends that you're talking about sound like it would make it easier to produce and get ads out there and start running ads. So what is it that is making it to be, you know, like you said earlier, one of the taking so much more time than it used to? Because those seem disconnected to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's important to point out for business owners and a lot of the people that are probably listening to this and validate that the work that it requires to build a successful funnel and a successful, you know, creative to landing page to offer to re-engagement and retention campaigns takes a lot more time than it used to. You used to be able to put on a purchase campaign, put the Facebook pixel on your site, and you could launch it with easy creative of product shots. And you didn't really have to pay a ton of attention to where it was going. You could send it to a PDP and it would be, you know, it would produce a return on ad spend that was positive. We are in a situation now where you have to think about all sides of that. You have to think about creating the creative, and it is easier. It doesn't have to be some super polished, you know, branded piece of content with like a professional video crew that's coming in to do it. But you have to think about the way it's being presented. You have to think about where are you sending them and testing different landing pages. I think that's important. You don't have to do it very, it doesn't have to be incredibly complicated. It doesn't have to be three variations for every ad, but that takes more time. And for a lot of you that are solo practitioners, that, you know, it's just more laborious of what you had to do before. you know, and then building in the true long-term profitability of making sure that they are increasing their average order value, making sure that they are buying again and building a true retention program. And, trying influencers is another thing that people have done a lot in terms of the prospecting side of things. And that management takes a lot of time and a lot of money. So it's just more complicated. And I always think it's important to validate that for people that, yes, there are pieces of it that over 2021 and 2022 have become easier in terms of the time to create those creatives or those landing pages. You can use, the tools are faster, but it's still way more than what you used to have to do.
Have you seen, what great tools do you have? Yeah, Canva is one, of course, you mentioned, I think a lot of people are familiar with. And at this point, I think we're starting to enter the phase where when people say ChatGPT or AI, like the amazement and wonder phase has started to wear off and people are kind of in the, oh my gosh, I wish people would stop talking about this phase. But risking that, are there tools that you've seen that have come on the scene in the last 2, 3, 4, 6 months that make the process of getting that ad, getting that media, getting that creative, streamlining that either in terms of editing or just, stock art that's really, really good, or I'm not even quite sure, but have you seen any great tools with kind of how quickly some of those areas are moving, emerge in the last 6 months?
The thing to mention, I mean, there certainly are tools that are out there. I think the big ones that for me that I'm privy to, it's more about the processes that have been refined from brands and agencies to make all of this easier. So an example would be 2020, it's Q1 of 2022 and you were like, oh man, I need a lot more influencer creative. Okay. And you're like manually doing this. And I think that now there's the most popular thing that in the influencer side that we are having discussions about in the membership is, well, actually hiring local actors or actresses and giving them templated like script sheets of the things you need them to say and sort of the cuts you're asking them to make so that you can take creative and build from that. That kind of stuff is what's made it a lot easier. So there's none of these things are solve-alls for people. And I think that there are tools that make it better, but I think a lot of the efficiency has come in looking at where the real manual labor was of reaching out to influencers is one, building landing pages, and those tools are getting easier. And the processes of what are we actually going to test and how are we going to test it and how are we going to make sure that it's efficient and effective is much better.
Like, do you have, sorry to interrupt, do you have a great, what do you use for landing pages? Because I feel like even in 2023, and granted, I'm not the formal expert on this by any means, but it still takes a lot of time to spin up a landing page that looks good, even when I use some of the tools that are out there. So do you have a favorite tool that you use for creating landing pages, being able to run variations on them for split testing and CRO? Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, the big one that everybody's talking about in the membership, I'm pulling it up here now, is Clarity. People seem to be enjoying that. I think that the new Microsoft tool also apparently is really good. That's like we're still using Hotjar in a lot of ways to like make sure that we're monitoring, but apparently there's new tools on the scene. So there hasn't been anything that's been like, oh wow, that's amazing. Unbounce is still, I think, the elephant or the gorilla that a lot of people are using for creating like the easiest iterations.
What are you seeing with TikTok? Like, we've been mostly talking about Meta, so Facebook and Instagram, and not sure we're going to get into Google quite on this call, but or this podcast. But what are you seeing with TikTok? Like, it's still, I'd say a lot of people aren't, well, I wouldn't say not a lot, but there's not tons of people on TikTok advertising. General thoughts on how it works as a platform. I'm sure it's dependent on the niche and things, but have you seen people have a lot of luck with it? Where's it at right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think in 21 or in 22, Q1, TikTok was really what everybody was really interested in testing. And there was a lot of interest in it. There's a lot of opportunity with it. And people had seen it bring a lot of prospecting traffic in the fourth quarter of the last year. So it was big and talked about. I think people took, 20 to 30% of their budget and tested it over on TikTok. I think that what we learned in 2022 with TikTok was it requires so much more creative. The average person, has to use something like, they have to build easily 3 times to 4 times the amount of creative to test, because creative lifespan is so much shorter on TikTok than it is on Meta. So that's one thing that has been very difficult. I also think that the complexity of the funnel in relation to TikTok is really challenging. So usually if you hear someone say TikTok's really working for us, they'll have some sort of quiz that is a big part of it, or some sort of listicle interactive piece that's getting emails, and then they're putting them down the funnel that way. So as a DR tool of you launch an ad, they click on it, they go and buy, that is much more difficult. And so, you know, that it creates a lot more work. So I think that was tough to learn all that, but is good. And it still can be successful for people. It still is successful for people. We have one member who's very successful with it, and his almost all of his budget is there now. And he runs a high dollar strength coaching app, basically. And they utilize trainers in their creative, and like that's their creative strategy. And so I think in certain niches, it can be really powerful as a growth tool. But in Q4, the general feeling from people was, and in our clients too, the ads just didn't work on TikTok and deliver the immediate return on ad spend that people thought that it was going to have. And I think some of that is we now have gone through so many holidays. I mean, it's probably been 10 years, honestly. Let's just say conservatively, it's been 7 to 8 years of people knowing that Facebook and Instagram are where deals are going to be. And I think that that is really important. Like consumers also are spending more time there during Black Friday, Cyber Monday specifically, and are like, well, I know their deal is going to be on here, so I'm going to follow them on Instagram. I'm going to follow their Facebook page. And that does matter, because TikTok just wasn't delivering the results there. So I think that's sort of where we stand in the DR world. I see a lot of people that are bringing budget back from TikTok and putting it back into Meta. I don't know that the overall budget of advertisers has increased, but I do think that, you know, budgets being pulled back from them to some degree, just because of the implications I talked about earlier, creative and landing pages that you need.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. And you obviously love e-commerce. You're interested in that. And so I wanted to make sure you're aware of the private community we have at E-Commerce Fuel for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brand owners. And it's something we've been building for close to a decade now, with over 1,100 members across the globe. And our secret sauce, like the name implies, is that everyone inside has deep experience doing this with an owner mindset. And so what does that mean? It means you get, when you log into our form, you get fast, on-point answers to your most pressing questions, regardless of whether that's you're negotiating a new lease for a warehouse, or maybe you're negotiating with UPS or USPS or FedEx about shipping rates or pickup times, or potentially you're just looking to find a great outsourcer, or wondering if you can even outsource your content. Is that something anyone has had success with? You can tap into this huge knowledge and brain trust across the globe and get answers within hours, sometimes even minutes. So it's an incredibly active forum with experienced people. You get to plug into an amazing network worldwide. A lot of our members, when they travel, if they touch down in Dallas or Sydney or London or Bozeman, Montana, or whatever it is, oftentimes they'll reach out to other ECF members. You know, obviously a little harder to do potentially right now, but and see if, you know, they want to get together for a beer to connect and oftentimes get to know a new friend. So it's an amazing network, as well as invites to our member-only events like ECF Live, which is our annual summit gathering for about 200 people. And then finally, the intelligence in our community just that's shared helps you avoid making really costly hiring and software mistakes. So our members write reviews on what they're using, their software tools, their agencies, completely unbiased, completely from their own experience. And so you can avoid making that, you know, hiring that agency that's an absolute nightmare, but you don't know about it. Or you can hone in on the one that actually does a really good job. It saves you a ton of time and money from bad hiring and software decisions. So if any of this sounds interesting, head on over to ecommercefuel.com and you can learn more about the community, what's included, and apply for membership as well. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in to the discussion.
I want to geek out. I'm really excited to geek out about this part. You mentioned kind of off the cuff that you do some consulting for Wall Street and investors. I think I've heard about this before. I've never done it personally, but you know, big hedge fund here wants to talk to somebody who's super experienced and has an insight. into or an inside track into what's going on in, you know, Google, Facebook to make bets on the stock prices. So I want to get in there a little bit. First of all, how did you get into that? Like, did you pitch people? I know that there's maybe certain lists or you can apply for it, but how long have you been doing this and how do you get into it and how do you like it? Because it sounds interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I just, a banker, one of the banks reached out to me in March of 2020. They were looking for, you know, what's iOS 14 doing? And they said, we use this service. There's two services that do this. They're expert networks. One's called GuidePoint and one's called GLG. You sign up with them, you go through all these, you know, confidentiality things and you say, here's what I do, here's who I am. And then they send you opportunities and you like via email and you can say like, yeah, that sounds good or no, that doesn't sound good. And they match you with people that are looking for a specific reads on different things. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's interesting because so much of what I do now, obviously not being able to effectively answer a thing about CRO in the weeds, so much of what I'm doing is looking at the overall trends of what's going on and being able to, and you know, still we're running, I mean, I'm still running Meta Ads, so I'm intimately familiar with like what we're doing, but it's a lot of like, how is budget increasing and decreasing? What are people feeling? What else are they seeing? And being able to make thematic calls like, yeah, you know, this is what X percentage of our members are seeing. And so it's good. It helps to understand the underlying business units too, of like what people are, what Meta's doing, what Google's doing, what Pinterest is doing. And, you know, I think I've been fairly right. And so they keep rehiring me to talk to them, because mm-hmm. I'm like predicting what's taking place. An example of this is I talked to one bank about Snapchat, and in Q1 of last year, you may recall that Snapchat came out and said, had this huge earnings call. And they said, well, we are the receptacle of increases in spend from DR advertisers. And I was like, that is not true. Like, no, I don't know anybody that's using Snapchat really effectively for driving sales at this point. And I like surveyed members again. I was like, am I not true? Is this not real? Like, am I missing something here? And people were like, no, it's not true. We're not using it. Like one member, he's like, yeah, it's good for us, you know? So I was like, I think this is a PR thing. I think that they are categorizing gaming spend this way. And it was this huge nerdy thing that I told this bank, but I was like, I think they're categorizing gaming spend as DR spend. Because remember all these mobile app advertisers, remember when you'd see ads from Zynga for like actual apps on your phone, right?
I do.
Like on,
yep.
So like you don't see those anymore, right? So those people, poor people, they're gone. iOS 14 has like really been rough for them. And so, you know, they went to Snapchat to try it, I think. And Snapchat was like, well, they're DR, like they do want an action. And so we're categorizing it this way. And it looked like the numbers were really good. And then it tanked in the next quarter, which I was like, yes, it's going to tank. Cause like, that's not a real thing. Like that's not real DR spend. So I think it's fun. I mean, if you have been in the industry a long time doing e-commerce, I would encourage you to sign up with these services because you might do one a week or one a month, you know, but like it's interesting. And it's
rough amount they pay? I'm guessing they pay fairly well. What like do they on an hourly basis and how much?
Yeah, it's an hourly basis and you can set your rate at whatever you want. $100, $200, $300 up from there, you know. So if you're somebody that has a ton of experience and is able to speak to a lot of this, you can get much more than that.
What are your thoughts? As long as we're in, this is not investment advice. If anyone, you know, neither of us, these are both just two guys just talking.
We're just talking. No, not really.
Just talking. But Facebook, you know, Facebook's had a rough go of it in the markets the last couple of years, right? Like at, you know, just cratering. I think they're down from, I don't know, maybe $100 at this moment, down from maybe $350. It's been a rough road. But given what you're saying, you know, more people are moving money back into Facebook. It seems like they're starting to maybe get a few of the attribution a little more dialed in. All the stuff we just talked about. Are you bullish on the stock? Like, do you own Facebook or would you bet money on Facebook at this point, given everything we just talked about?
I mean, it depends on your time window. I've always been a long-term investor. And I think that as a long-term investor, I believe in Facebook in the long run. I mean, they have been through the meat grinder from a PR mm-hmm. standpoint. They have been through the meat grinder from a technical standpoint. And so they've proven time and time again that it, you know, we may not see crazy growth, but we will see sustained growth. And the reality is, at least from a direct response standpoint, for those of us that live in that world, there isn't another place to go that has the power that Facebook has, that Meta has, with Instagram and Facebook. You can do search ads, and certainly for certain niches, search ads can be incredibly effective and can be a way to scale. But it is not, for most people in the D2C world that are selling t-shirts or water bottles or makeup, you know, or bath salts and soaks, like, it's not going to hold the same scale and the upward mobility of Meta. And so from that standpoint, I think that it's not a $300 stock, but I think it's definitely underpriced at this moment in time.
Interesting. And looking at it now, it looks like it bottomed out around 115-ish. Yeah, about 115-ish or so. And it looks like it's up since the end of the year here, up about 15% in the last 15-20% in the last month or so. Interesting. Andrew, talk about Foxhole Digital. It's the agency and the company that you co-founded. It's very interesting. Like, you have an agency, like, of course, people I'm sure have guessed, if not knew about already. You have a membership community for people who really go deep on the paid media side, and then courses as well. So yeah, interesting model. Talk about that a little bit and who might find some value over there.
Yeah, definitely. So we have the agency business. We run ads for people on Meta primarily. That's a big part of what we do. We also have the courses business and the education business. So we have courses on Google Ads. We have courses on TikTok. We have courses on Meta, of course. And, you know, I spent actually all of last year creating a course called Assessment Action Ascension Program, the AAA program. And I thought of it when I was mountain biking up a mountain. So that's why the ascension part was in there. But the idea is, this course was built for people to train their team or train themselves on everything that Meta is doing, and other channels, mostly Meta though, that you need to be doing to be successful this year. So it's like everything from talking about landing pages deeply to talking about building the right types of creative. I think the creative section in that course itself is 2.5 hours long. So it's a lot, right? I think it's like 7 hours of content overall, but that's a big part of what we do. And my point when creating educational resources is really making sure that it's speaking to all the perspectives so that you know how to make your own decisions with it and you have all the information. And then we have a membership program, which was launched actually to help serve our best course customers. I thought there was going to be like 20 people in this thing, and that's what it was going to live as. This has 420 people in it now, and is, you know, we spend on average $150 million a month on Meta. We talk about everything from building and scaling Meta ads to creative with Meta ads. But then we also have a Google Analytics and Google Ads channel. We have a TikTok channel. We talk about that. We have a Pinterest channel. We have a agency owner channel and a conversion rate optimization channel. So it's all of the things that play into it and work together. And the membership is, you know, a lot like ECF, I'm sure. It's like it's a place of helping people feel less alone and making sure that they can get questions answered and the help that they need when they need it to help build their business the best that they can.
Love it. Very cool. So foxwelldigital.com, check it out if you want to go deeper down the rabbit hole here on paid in any of those ways. Andrew, this has been fun, man. Thank you. I'd love to, if you're up for it, finish this off with a lightning round per kind of the tradition here on the podcast. So I'm going to fire a bunch of questions at you. Just go ahead and give me your fastest, hottest take on it. And yeah, we'll cap it off with that if that sounds good.
Okay.
All right. How would you describe the e-commerce environment in 1 to 3 words right now?
Best times ahead.
Fondest memory from your childhood, or one of the fondest memories from your childhood?
Church ice cream.
Church, you gotta go a little deeper on that.
Oh man, I grew up in the country in Wisconsin. There was a church that made homemade ice cream during the summer, and we would go over there once a month during the summer, and we would get ice cream in Wisconsin, and you'd play and run around this church out in the middle of nowhere in the country, and it was so freeing, and it was the coolest thing. It was just like neat to be around all the neighbors and everything else. So that's probably one of my most fond memories.
Nice. Love it. If you weren't living where you live now, where would you live?
I mean, we're kind of doing that. So I'm sorry, that's not a rapid answer. We live in Santa Barbara, But we also live in Madison, Wisconsin. So I would say living in Madison, Wisconsin, that is my primary residence, but I would probably live in Santa Barbara.
Do you go back and forth, or do you, what's the setup?
Yeah, we spend like half and half. So last year we were in Santa Barbara for 7 months. We'll be here in Santa Barbara for 6 months this year. So yeah, we go back and forth. And when our daughter gets into school, we'll probably be here for the most part of the year in Santa Barbara. And then we'll go back to Wisconsin in the summer. So we own a home there, and we definitely don't own a home here yet, but we'll see. We'll see how everything keeps going.
What's a good ROAS? It's totally subjective, which is why I think it's an interesting question. And just, you don't have to give any context for it, but just what's a good ROAS?
I mean, a good ROAS that you're looking at is going to be like a 2. And that depends on how you define looking at that number. That also depends on what your average order value is. But the quick answer is, I would say a good ROAS is a 2. If you can get a 2.
Excellent ROAS? Like top 5% ROAS?
It would be like 5 at this point, like a 4 or 5X. Absolutely. And that's not that's not a meta reported ROAS. You know, like if you're getting a true 5X, Meta would be reporting on a click, like on a 1 day click basis, maybe like a 1. And that actually means you're getting a true 5X or something, right? Like there's all these calculations that we can do to figure that out depending on your numbers. But that's what I think a great one would be. But that's pretty rare to see depending on how high your AOV is.
It's the hardest part of your business.
Self-doubt.
Oh, that's a good answer. That's a great answer. How much money and or liquid stocks, you know, money or stocks, how much money in the bank is enough? So this is, you have X in the bank, and if you make more in the future, that's great. That's not like you're banned from making more money, but if you only had this, you'd be okay. You wouldn't bother you to not make any more. What's that number?
I've never thought about that. I don't know. If I never had to work again, I don't know what that number would be. I honestly don't know. My parents are both school, like educators, and I make more money than they ever made running an online business, and we live pretty lean, and I don't know what that'd be. A couple million bucks, $5 million. I don't know. I've never thought about that question. It's a great question. I mean, I'm wearing the same pants I've been wearing all week, Andrew. I don't really
love it. So somewhere from 2 to 5 million. How many hours a week do you work?
It depends on how you define work. I would say that if you define work as looking at the Slack group and communicating with our members, and you define it as thinking about the business as well, it's like 50 hours a week, right? But if you think about sitting down and working and responding to people thoughtfully and not just thinking about it, but like actively in the action of work, you know, it's like 4 hours, 5 hours a day. I think a big part of the competitive advantage that I have is the time that is free thinking time to be able to come back thoughtfully to help people and be a real servant to them. So I have the headspace that many of them don't have if they have a complex problem.
What's your number one hobby and you can't say work?
Oh, mountain biking. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, huge mountain biker. Love it. Love getting on the bikes. My favorite. It's just the best. Get out in the mountains, you know, get out anywhere in nature. I just can't believe that a bike can take you there. I just feel so blessed to be able to have the body to do it. Honestly, I mean, be able to get around and climb up a mountain if I feel like it. It's just the greatest feeling.
That's super fun. I hear you on that one, man. And the last questions I usually ask is, who's one of the most interesting people you've met through ECF? But we're going to flip that around. And you've got a community as well, again, of we mentioned, the really in the weeds experienced media buyer. So this isn't your favorite because I wouldn't make you do that. But just someone, you know, who comes to mind who's notable, you've just enjoyed having in the community, in your community.
Yeah. Yesterday, we had a member meetup on Wednesday of this week and in Malibu, California, and one of the members drove with his 13-year-old son from New Mexico. This guy is a brand owner and he is a solo entrepreneur and has, you know, 3 or 4 different businesses, I feel like all of us do. And he grew up with no running water, no power, in a trailer next to a river in Oklahoma. And his whole mentality of life is building businesses that give back. That's all he wants to do. And he's probably, I don't know how old the guy is, mid-40s maybe, something like that. And his name is Chris Lang. And he is just someone that leads with love and leads with care. And when he says something to you, he really means it. And I think that so many of us are faced with a lot of bro-y, ROAS sharing type stuff in our world. When you realize and are around people that instead of scream, they whisper, that's powerful.
Man, that's a pretty good spot to wrap this up at. So Andrew, thank you, man. Fun geeking out about the Facebook side of things, the ad side of things, the more important side of things. Again, if you want to get better at paid media buying, it's redundant. If you want to get better at media buying on lots of different platforms, if you want to have someone who's good at it, do it for you because you have too much else going on, or you want to geek out with a bunch of other people that are doing it in a membership area, or just learn from courses, foxwelldigital.com. It's got all the goods over there. So Andrew, glad this finally happened, man. It's well long overdue. So I love what you're doing out there and appreciate you coming on to talk about all this stuff. It's been fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Andrew. Real pleasure.
Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the E-Commerce Fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help, access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that, you know, founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Big thanks to One-Click Upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted high-converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. And also to Fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.